Hey, Bonnie, would you come down and share with us one thing about Don, your husband? Just one thing. Just, yeah, just come down. Yes, and I just want one thing. No, it'll be long, or it can be as long as you want. Just one thing that's, if I say, hey, you know, what's one thing you tell God that you're thankful for in Don?
Well, I'm thankful he was a good husband. He liked to drink coffee at McDonald's. Amen. And he enjoyed life.
Enjoyed life.
Amen. Come here. And he confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's awesome. You're going to see him again. Amen. You're going to see him again. Praise God. Amen. Brother Bob, can you share one thing about Martha?
Six and a half years ago, she left.
6.5 years ago, yep. She went to be the Lord. I know. And you're going to see her again, Bob. Going to see her again. Amen. Soon. Vicki? Brother Steve?
Steve had a rough life and changed his life to good when he found the Lord.
Amen.
And of course he loved his horses and his animals. And I'm just glad that he turned his life around and gave his life to the Lord, so I'll see him.
You're going to see him in heaven. Amen. Amen. Who else lost a spouse that want to share? Tracy, do you want to share anything this morning? What God wants to do, he's just trying to help in the healing process. And by speaking about our loved ones, remembering, it just helps heal. It helps the, hey, you know, two shall become one. Let me tell you a little bit about my other part of me. And it just really helps. So, I don't know whether you want to share. Dan, did you want to share about Barb?
She fought cancer for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Through all of it.
Then his wife Barb, she just passed 2 weeks ago and fought cancer for 3 years, but always kept her mind on other people and loved Jesus. I remember sitting there talking to Barb and you both, you know. So we have a blessed hope of seeing Barb again. We know that. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Okay. Again, I don't know the pain that you're going through, but I just know the joy that Jesus receives. When your loved one confess Christ as Savior and Lord, oh my, you talk about rejoicing in heaven. And that rejoicing never stops. Never stops. And we're going to see loved ones again. Carol, you read a poem coming in here today. Do you still have that available by any chance? Do you mind? And Ryan, could you look at your phone the Passion Translation of 91? Yeah. But she shared this poem. It's coming in today, and I forget where she found it from. And she's reading to me. It makes you think, you know. It's a lighthearted one. If she can locate that on her phone. I'll turn the lights up here. Yeah. You got it? Okay.
It says, I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, not the lights, even its decor. But it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from 7th grade who swiped my lunch twice. And next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Bob, who always thought was rotting in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud 9, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everybody so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, he said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you.
Amen. But again, go back to the blessed hope we have through Jesus. All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I love that because there'll be people in heaven that no one thought would be there, but at the last second, they call upon the name of the Lord. You know, you're witnessing that you've done to them, your testimony, how you lived your life. It caused them to think the same way the thief on the cross did. Man, the last few seconds of his life, he acknowledged Jesus Christ. And what caused that heart of his to break? The book of Luke shares this. He's the only one that shares it. From the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." When he spoke that, it broke the heart of the thief beside him. I say thief. Bible says thief. It's a sinner beside him. And when he said, "Father, forgive them," that love, that compassion that came out of Jesus, it broke the heart of that sinner to confess Jesus. And he said, "This day, you'll be with me in paradise." Wow. And folks, that's the hope I carry with me every day. Amen. I mean, I can mention somebody's name, an old friend of mine, and people might think, "Well, man, I know they're burning hell." But I'm telling you, well, I walk around with a blessed hope that I share Jesus, you know, as they hear the Word of God. You know, like Penny shared it, I think, last week about a doctor's office just talking about God. So-and-so's getting that hope out there, man. I'm telling you what. A great reunion. There'll be a lot of people in heaven that'll probably turn around and say, "Well, how'd that old retired cop get here?" And you know what I'll say? Blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. But the spoken word of God is so powerful. And I want to share, we shared this Friday night, I love it from this translation. Psalms 91. Never ever get tired of speaking that. Never get tired of in the morning raising it up. Say, "This is my declaration. This is God's word to his children." I asked Ryan to share from his translation, not his translation, but from his phone. The Passion Translation.
Psalm 91, yep. "When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness come against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed.
Hallelujah.
You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends his angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation."
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that's his word to stand on. I love it because he used the word "great lover." And it makes you think how much, what makes you think of that is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? Think what he gave to rescue you. Yeah, he gave everything. You think he's going to leave you hanging by yourself? You think he did all that to turn his back on you? No. Man, I'm telling you, my wife has a shirt she wears once in a while. He says, my man, or you get a picture of a policeman carrying somebody out of a bad situation. If my man will go in this house and rescue somebody he doesn't know, how much more do you think he'll do for me? Amen? That's your God. Amen. That's your God. I've said before, my wife have confidence. No matter wherever goes on in her life, wherever she's at, whatever trouble she might get into or come against her, she knows her old man's coming. She has that confidence. How much more confidence do you think she has in her God? Come to flesh and blood. And that's where we have to have our mindset. That will help cast down any fear that we're struggling with. Now, the key thing here is as we stay under his pinion, or as we follow him, amen? We have nothing to fear. Now, if we step out from that, then we bring stuff on ourselves. God doesn't forsake us. But we're kind of like, he's like this, okay. I mean, you're back here. Sorry, God. Yeah, come on. There's no greater place to be than under authority of God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth. There's no greater place for you to be under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no greater authority to be led by than the Holy Spirit that's given to us to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us power. No place greater to be. That's where you find your strength. That's where you find your purpose. That's where his blessing is. No plague shall come upon you or your household. That's God's word. Amen? That's it's not my word. So, as we hear the word of God, it builds our faith. We know that God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. I think sometimes the reason we have fear, it could be that we know that we're not truly following the Lord. That we've compromised in our life. Now that doesn't say that God turns his back on you. And I'm not saying that you compromise that he's took your name off the rules. But I'm saying we allow a lot of things to come against us. Because what we do, we drop that barrier of the Lord. But to speak his word and know his word is true. And to follow his word. How many people here follow the word of God? How many people here follow your own word once in a while? Yes! God can work with people who tell the truth. Amen. That's the same thing that when you read the gospel, that's the same thing. You have the disciples telling the good things and the bad things about themselves. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Amen. Now they learn as you follow them, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Quit doing things my own way. Amen. But to recognize, remember when to recognize any weaknesses that we have. And then turn away. I know it seems simple to say, turn away. Look how easy it is. But truly, I believe that is how easy it is. If you decide in your head that you want that. Amen? Amen. What happens when we say, well, I can't do this. I'm a Christian. And we say it reluctantly. But when we say, no, I don't want to do that. God says that's bad for me and I trust him. And we turn away. Again, not saying that God turns his back on you when you step in the area you shouldn't have, but we weaken ourselves. I allow fear to come in, all kind of stuff can come against us then. But when we wake up, oh wait, what am I doing here? You get back up again. In fact, God helps you get back up, turns you around, and keep on going. I know, that's me walking. So you can't see what goes on in my head, you know. I see me walking the Lord right now, but that's it. That's the main thing, and when we read that, I mean, that's Psalms 91. Some of you might know it by heart. I mean, it's not a Sunday morning thing. I do it Sundays, but every Sunday and Friday nights. But every day, You declare that because you, man, it gives you confidence. Wow. But no matter what happens today, I'm going to fear nothing. No. Well, this is a new report coming out. Okay. I'm in the hand of my Lord. He's already purposed a number of days for me if I follow Him. That I'll live out my life according to what He wants. He knows when it's time for me to come home. He knows my tomorrow or the next day. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. And I believe I start falling back more toward my weaknesses than my strengths. Out of His love and mercy and all knowing, He'll bring me home to my reward. Oh, it'd be like my son in college. I'm saying it was what he did, but in college, okay? Going to classes Monday through Friday, Ohio State or Kent State. He went to both of them. The weekend's coming. Oh, man, he's strong, boy. He's just doing awesome. But here comes Saturday, and Saturday is time for a beer, what, beer pong party, whatever you call them things, you know? I figured somebody answered me. I said, how do you know?
I had no idea.
Oh, did he answer it? Okay. But here he comes, boy. He just loves to drink that beer and shoot pool with his buddies, okay? But who shows up on Friday night? Pop. Well, yeah, thank you. Jesus, he might, you know, because I pray for my kids. Hey, son, come on home this weekend, you know. So I bring, get him away from that. Bring him home before he gets himself into trouble, amen? Now, as time goes on, maybe he can spend the weekends because he don't want that. That's the same way of God. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows my days, tomorrow, my number, my days, everything. He knows my wife's too. And I trust in Him. I trust in Him that she will live out the number of days He has purpose for her. And same with myself. And I pray in my heart, if she would go for a reward before I do, that I can rejoice. Man, there, she made it. She made it. I mean, so awesome. Man, she made it to heaven. And finally, I can clean out her junk room. I know. But we made it together. I'm just kidding. But man, we made it. I remember last summer, she went down to see our grandchild. I couldn't go. And Ryan and Angela took her down, dropped her off. As you guys went, I mean, just 10 awesome days down there. Yes. I mean, there I was at home with her dog, all the chores I had to do, you know, which isn't that many anymore, but. But my heart was so excited that there she is holding her granddaughter every day, hanging out with, making memories, and of course taking pictures and all kind of stuff, you know. So I kept my eyes on her happiness, which helped me get through my loneliness. And again, I shared before, yours and whose spouses have been into heaven, there's a difference because I knew my wife was coming back from Virginia in 10 days. Okay? But I had that absence. But you got to remember, the joy that they have right now, knowing through Christ, you're coming to them one of these days. And God knows the number of days that He's purposed for you, because as your loved ones call upon the name of the Lord, there's other ones around us that need Jesus also. So we allow the light shine and share and say, man, my wife, my husband in heaven, I'm telling you what they're doing up there. Oh, man. Woo! And stay focused on that. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. To miss them, that's to love someone. But to stay focused, man, soon, very soon. And those of you, again, that has walked that path to comfort one another, you do it greater than any of us can. And don't be afraid to share your needs and thoughts. And on them tough days, call me, my wife, let's pray through it, okay? Yes, because soon, very soon. And every time I hear more of the news, I think it's coming today, you know? It is. I started wearing less heavy stuff for the rapture. That way I can be the first one in line, you know? So, yeah, amen, amen. Praise God. But I want to share with you. Well, I can do a couple things this morning. It's not normal. I mean, not normal. I mean, it's normal, but not. There we go. But what is normal? There is no normal. I mean, Jesus is the only one that's normal. The rest of us are weird. But in my heart this morning, I woke up and then my wife kind of confirmed it also. We have loved ones that we're still praying for salvation. And I know I passed out a while back some of the prayer that we drafted up. But I want to pray this morning for loved ones. It could be our children, grandchildren. It could be anyone that's on your heart. It can be your enemy across the street from you. But he says where two of us gather in agreement. And so, I'm going to pray, and it's a short prayer, but powerful prayer. I prayed it here before. And to be in agreement is to say, amen, when I'm done. So be it. A couple of places I'll have you speak out somebody's name. It can be see my siblings, my children. But that's how powerful his name is. Jesus Christ. Man, it's the most powerful thing. And you know what, guys? I need my podium up here sometimes. The devil doesn't mind if you play church. What I mean by that, we have not a platform, but a schedule. Okay, if you want to come in and we sing two songs, we're going to do this, going to do that, and out the door we go. He don't care. But to recognize how powerful we are when we come together as a body of Christ. How powerful prayer is. My Father's house should be a house of prayer. When we get to the point that, man, your burden is really heavy on my heart, that I'm going to pray with you. Let's pray. Man, that's what the devil don't want. He wants us to have people call it church, so I call it a church gathering. Service to me sounds like it's, I don't know, but I just love we're an assembly, you know, Shepherd Christian Assembly. We assemble together as Christians and we worship God. So I want to pray. We're going to intercede for loved ones today for their salvation. And don't ever be afraid when we close that part of our gathering, say, hey, you need prayer, come down. Don't ever be afraid to come down. I mean, very powerful prayer warrior behind me. Lay hands and speak the word of God over your life. But that's what the gatherings do. That's how. And don't ever think, well, what's the use? It won't do any good. Look what it did for Mike. I remember praying with you many times up here. Kind of break down that brick wall around them, you know? As many of us have that wall. But look what happened. Because of your dedication. It wasn't easy at times. But for have Mike, to have his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be in heaven. All because you wouldn't give up. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. Because, Father, we come before you in prayer and in faith, believing your word says that you desire all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So we bring, and whoever you want to bring before the Lord, you mention it now, we bring my siblings, Father, before you this day, and we bind the power of Satan and his demons from their assignments and activities in my sibling's life. We bind it today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, now while they are bound, we ask that you send forth the perfect laborers to share the good news of the gospel in such a way that he will listen or she will listen and understand it. As the truth is ministered, I believe my siblings will come to their senses and come out of the snare of the devil and make Jesus Christ of Nazareth Lord of their life. Father, I ask that you will fill my siblings with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I intercede in their behalf. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is activated And from this moment on, I shall praise you and thank you for my sibling's salvation. I am confident that you are alert and active, watching over your word to perform it. And it will not return to you void. It will accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. Therefore, my confession of faith is God has begun a good work in my siblings' lives, and he will continue it and bring it to full completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I confess this is true in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you all still have the copy of that prayer? I've got a book of prayer that I go through every morning, try to, or every evening. So tomorrow, if you pray, it would be like, Father, I want to thank you on behalf of my siblings. And Father, I declare as I continue to bind the evil one from interfering their thought life and their life, I want to thank you that you're already sending forth laborers to witness to them, to bring them to the kingdom. I place the blood of Christ over them today. That they are delivered. That no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. I declare your word is true. And I thank you in Jesus' name. See, tomorrow, I won't ask them to bring laborers into the path. Why? Amen. I already did. I believe God has heard my prayer. I know he's doing what I've asked. So I do my part. And I continue to bind the forces of the darkness from interfering their life as those laborers are sent forth that Jesus is sending. May I caution you this. He will send laborers that you would never thought he would send. Think of that. He'll send the perfect one that can reach to him. And that can be any spectrum. Just like the poem that Carol shared earlier. I even drank extra water this morning. That poem that she read about people being in heaven, in there somewhere you found yourself in that poem, probably. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And there's people today who would say, what? You go down that church that old cop preaches? I never go down there. I've had people say that, yeah. Yes, amen. Okay. Snake wrangler. Whatever it might be. But see, I might not be that perfect worker for that person. Amen? But you might be. But who am I? Who are you? You're a child of God. Just to stand on the word and speak it out and have that confidence. Now tomorrow, if someone else laid it upon my heart, I have that full prayer again. And it goes on your prayer wall. You know, these are started, these are halfway through, these are accomplishments. I mean, it's just how you do your prayer wall. I mean, that's up to you. But to me, the way the world is today and distractions, you really need it written down somewhere. Otherwise, you forget what you're doing. And write down the accomplishments. And when you see things get worse in that person's life, you keep praying because you know something's taking place. That God is, no matter how bad it gets. You know, and I've shared before, we have plenty of people in prison today that send us thank you letters for all you guys, thanking you for what you've done for them. Thanking God they got busted. Thanking God they found Jesus. And you might be, well, man, I've been praying for this guy and he's in prison now, or she's in prison. Trust God, amen? Because God knows what he wants to do. And maybe being incarcerated keeps him alive from the streets. Just have faith, you know? And I always say this, folks, when they get out, be there for them. You know, be there for them. What I mean by that, continue to pray for them. You know, do what we can to help them get back on their feet. I've shared before, and I'll close with this, but when I got born again, I was still the administrator of the jail over there. I mean, I was just sharing Jesus with everybody. And revival in the jail. And some of the fellows and ladies get out, and they'd ask me, you know, okay, I wasn't a pastor yet. Where do I go to church at? I said, listen, get up Sunday morning. This is me talking to them. Put on your dirty clothes you got and don't take a bath. And you go to church. You walk in that door. They walk up to you and welcome you. Say, man, I'm glad you're here. Good chance the Spirit of Living God's in there. They walk up to you and say, what are you here for? You might want to keep on going down the street. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that God isn't there, but that's how you find somebody that's preaching the gospel. You know, whether you like me or not, I'll bring forth the truth to you. Okay, you can hate me for it, you can love me for it, but I have to bring the truth out. That's what God's in my spirit. Amen. And same way around you. You might have been witnesses to people. Man, they just don't get it. Ah. And the next thing you know, somebody walks up to them. They've never met before talking about Jesus, and they get born again. And you think, wow, what's wrong? For 4 years, I poured out to them. Well, praise God, you would plow in the field. And you planted the seed. Amen. As we close out here, I'm going to share the scripture. If I find it again. For the trying days that we can see ourselves in. Romans 12:9, we're going to start at Romans 12:9. You might locate it on your phone too, Carol, just in case my voice gives out on me here. I even drank extra water today. Yeah, Romans 12:9. I want to share a few passages here. Just remind us that we fall under the authority of God. His word is true. And no matter how we feel in the flesh, what our fleshy desires are, we got to always yield ourselves to God's word. And 12:9 starts out, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the instructions to us, the saints. Bless those who persecute you is coming from somebody that spent a lot of time in prison for the gospel. Bless you for those who persecute you is coming from the one who hung on the cross. It's the same spirit. And if God can tell us to bless those who persecute you, we can do that. And not to pay back evil with evil. Now, I said Friday night, I'll say it again. That verse does not say you cannot protect yourself. It doesn't say you can't defend yourself. But don't pay back evil for evil. And I guess the best demonstration was if I get in an argument with my neighbor Tracy here, and at nighttime she comes over and eggs my house. And the next morning I go and I buy eggs and I egg her house back. No, he said, don't do that. And yet I can't have your eggs. But that's what he's saying, you know. Because the minute I do that to Tracy, okay, God's done. What I mean by that, his vengeance cannot come. He said, don't touch my anointed. Because the bottom line on everything, we shared earlier, God's heart is that no one would perish. Now, in our nation right now, we are split big time. And there's a lot of people hating you, hating the church. They're speaking against you. They don't even know you. But God said, hey, vengeance is mine. Because out there, in the millions and millions that hate us, they don't know us. They have been deceived. They listen to lies. Everybody here ever been lied about? Yes. Ever been lied about something and somebody find out the truth and they say, man, I am so sorry. I should never thought about it. Yes. So God wants our heart to be the same as His heart. And that's the desire that no one would perish. Now, sure, I believe at this time we have some that I would say have a reprobate mind. But there's, I believe, millions that have been deceived. And we have been praying for the truth to be revealed, right? But the prayer now is that the truth be revealed and to give them eyes to see the truth. Let them come out of darkness. Let them be set free. Let them realize how much the devil has been deceiving people. I'm tired of it, what we see. But I want to make sure I do it God's way. God's way. Because, like I said before, I tell God all the time how He ought to do things. If He would listen to me, we'd be in worse shape than we are today. So I have to listen to Him. Okay, God, take my spirit. I'm so aggravated, Lord, and turn it around for Your glory. Okay, Starkey, get on your knees and start praying. What's the best way to get rid of your enemy? Make him your friend. Psalms 94:17. I lied to you earlier. I told you one more scripture, but I didn't lie. I want to leave with this. 94:17. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say my foot has slipped, Your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Your consolations delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with You, one which devises mischief by degree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. That doesn't sound like today's world. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Everyone has a reckoning day, and they will have also. And the evil will be destroyed, and those who do wickedness shall be destroyed. But may we continue to intercede and pray for those who know the truth, who follow Jesus, and for those who have been deceived. May our hearts not get so bitter and angry and hard that we want God to send a mighty thunderbolt and wipe out 80 million people. Because many of them are deceived. You yourself was deceived at one time, I would say. I was convinced I was the best person on earth. I was surprised God ran heaven without me. I know, but praise God that somebody found me worthy enough to be prayed for. I don't say worthy enough, needed or whatever it is. And brought me out of darkness to the light. Brother Saul, killing us, killing Christians, coming to the light. Look at the power God filled him with. So there's plenty more Sauls out there and Pauls, and there's more Bobs and Starkeys and Dans and Tracy, all out there just waiting to come in. They don't know it yet. So may our hearts not grow cold. Continue to intercede and let God take it from there and trust the Lord. He's not slow. What's he waiting for? One more soul, I'd say. Amen? Amen. Praise God.